Please note that we need volunteers to work after both Masses to help out with the Sunday morning breakfast. If anyone can volunteer their time, please call the office. This August 6th, St. Pius V will have its first annual golf tournament. The proceeds of this tournament will benefit St. Pius V School Building Fund. Now, the banns of marriage are announced for the third time for Matthew Piper and Noreen Verbeck. Anyone knowing any reason why this young couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, please contact the priest as soon as possible. This past week, we've had three deaths among our chapels. Father Baumberger's father, Mr. Vern Baumberger, passed away this past July 4th. Mr. Baumberger was 91. Sister Mary Joseph's father, Mr. Collins in San Jose, California, also passed away this past week, quite suddenly, actually. And last night, the mother of Mrs. Catherine de Gregory, Mrs. Dominica Chaperon, passed away very suddenly. And so I ask that you please join me now for praying for the repose of their souls. The epistle appointed to be read for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we were buried together with him by baptism into death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. Knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7? And he commanded the crowd to sit down in the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set before them the people, and they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them, and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There is a story of a young, well-to-do married couple who, despite their great wealth, lived in an almost constant state of unhappiness. Their married life was marked by constant quarreling and arguing. One day, the wife happened to be looking through her deceased grandmother's diary. She came across an entry entitled, A Household Remedy Against Misery. This is what she read in her grandmother's diary. Whenever I feel miserable or am angry with my husband, I go to the picture of the Ecce Homo and I place myself at its feet. I look at it attentively for the space of 3 minutes and recite 3 Our Fathers before I go away. This always restores peace and contentment to my mind. My confessor advised me to do this. I have tried the remedy for 30 years and I have never found it to fail. Now, after reading this passage from her grandmother's diary, the young wife put the book down. She immediately went up into the attic, and there she found her grandmother's picture of the Ecce Homo. She brought it down and carefully dusted it, hung it in her room. Ecce Homo is a depiction of our Savior scourged, crowned with thorns, and covered with filthy garments. His face is sad, his eyes are filled with tears, and his body covered with deep wounds. Now, after hanging the picture, the young wife was resolved to follow her grandmother's advice. And from that day forward, whenever she felt a quarrel with her husband was about to begin, which was very often, she would go into her room, kneel before the image of the scourged Christ, and there her anger and her impatience would dissipate as she gazed upon her suffering Savior. In fact, one day her husband said to her, "What's wrong with you? I've noticed a striking change. You don't like to fight anymore." His wife answered, "I have found an excellent teacher." And as she answered, she proceeded to show her husband the picture of the Ecce Homo and then explained to him her new practice. And her husband was moved by grace, and before long, he too sought to learn the lesson of patience and gentleness before the image of the suffering Savior. My dear friends, the gospel for today's Mass recounts the miraculous feeding of 4,000 people with 7 loaves. St. Mark writes, he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" who said seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And taking the seven loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before the people. The seven loaves which our Lord broke and distributed are symbolic of the seven sacraments, which were instituted for the salvation of the souls of men. As bread feeds the body and helps to sustain its life, so the sacraments are the life-giving food for the soul. The sacraments come to us from the Sacred Heart of Jesus through His open side. The Catechism of the Council of Trent defines the sacraments as visible signs of invisible grace instituted for our justification. And it is a dogma of our faith that our Lord instituted the seven sacraments. And one of the seven sacraments, which is very often neglected, is the sacrament of matrimony. Now, by that I do not mean that no one receives the sacrament. What I mean is that after a young couple receives the sacrament of matrimony, as time goes on, they tend to forget that they have received a sacrament. In the midst of the daily struggles of the married life, they fail to act in accord with the special sacramental graces that they have received on their wedding day. Nor do they accept the actual graces that God sends them every day to fulfill the duties of their state in life. You see, Almighty God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. And by that very fact, marriage is a sacred union between a man and a woman. But when Christ, the true Son of God, came, He raised this sacred union to the level of a sacrament, and He bestowed upon it a most lofty dignity. He raised it to its original integrity, and He attached great graces to it. And why did He do this? He did this because He knew that those who are called to the married state would need these special graces to assist them in performing the duties of their state in life. And thus, if these graces are accepted, marriage can lead to happiness in this life as much as is possible, and then eternal happiness in the next. But if a husband and a wife fail in their duties to each other and to their children in a serious matters, they will not save their souls unless they change their ways. In addition to other duties and responsibilities of the married state, there are three basic mutual duties of a husband and wife that bind under mortal sin. And these three basic mutual duties of a husband and a wife are that they must love and help each other. They must render the marriage debt, and they must live a common life and be faithful to each other. And as I say, these three duties, loving and helping each other, rendering the debt, and living a common life, bind under pain of mortal sin. But to be faithful to these duties and the other duties of the married state will lead married people to heaven. And to assist them in being faithful to these duties, our Lord made matrimony a sacrament. And thus, married people receive an increase of sanctifying grace. They receive special sacramental graces and even a claim, as theologians teach, to special actual graces. In giving us, my dear friends, the sacraments, our Lord has truly had compassion upon us. When the trials and tribulations of the married life arise, and they will, husbands and wives must turn to our Lord, as did this young couple in the story, and they must humbly ask Him for His help. And He will not turn His back upon them. He has promised to assist them by means of the many graces that He has attached to the sacrament of matrimony. Turn to Him and strive each day to be kind, patient, and understanding with your spouse. And never forget that the way you treat your spouse will determine where you will spend your eternity. And finally, may all our Catholic families be devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.